Dearly beloved in Christ, on behalf of the priests and religious here at the City of Mary, I wish you a blessed Christmas season and a most blessed New Year. The birth of Jesus is an almost incomprehensible event in the history of the world. It is one of the most significant points in the history of mankind, the day when Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, would be born of the Virgin Mary, when God would hypostatically unite his divinity to humanity, and the Word was made flesh, says St. John the Apostle. The Gospel tells us that the shepherds hastened to see Jesus in the crib. And commentary written by Abbot Derringer says the following concerning the Gospel for today. Let us imitate the earnestness of the shepherds hastening to Jesus. No sooner do they hear the angel's words than they start for the holy stable in Bethlehem. Once in the presence of the divine infant, they know him by the sign that had been given them by the angel. And Jesus is born in their souls by his grace. These happy men delight now in their poverty, for they find that he is too poor. They feel that they are united to him forever, and their whole lives shall testify to the change that this December night has worked in them. They do not keep the great event to themselves. They tell everyone about the babe of Bethlehem. They become his apostles, and their burning words fill their listeners with astonishment. Like them, let us glorify the great God, who, not satisfied with calling us to the admirable light, has set it in the very center of our hearts by uniting us to himself. Let us often think of the mysteries of the glorious night, after the example of Mary, who keeps unceasingly in her most pure heart the wonderful things that God has been accomplishing by her and in her. Christus natus est pro nobis, venite aureum, says the Veracruz, which means, Jesus is born for us, come, let us adore him. This is the invitation of the Church on this most blessed feast day. So we should go in spirit to Bethlehem and contemplate the Savior, born in a stable, and adore him. This is why we set up the Nativity scenes, so that we can be reminded of the birth of Christ, and so that we can offer him our prayers and our love. What a sight of unspeakable love, says the same author. God, creator of the world, became a little infant, stripped of all the splendor of his divinity, that he might take away all fear from us and draw all hearts to him. Before the coming of Christ, many holy men wished to see the Messiah, and they were not able to see him. They died with the regret they could not see and speak to the chosen one of God, but we have the advantage of being able to read his life and teachings in the New Testament. Not only this, but we can also speak to him and pray to him in his presence. Certainly, we do this whenever we make a visit to the church or to the chapel wherein the Blessed Sacrament is kept. Now let us not take for granted the wonderful gifts that we have been given. Whenever we come to church, we should pray with the fervor and attention with which the holy men of the Old Testament would have paid to their Lord and Savior. We merely pass through a short season of Advent, which is reflected the 4,000 years before the coming of Christ, but they had to live in waiting and expectation, the future shrouded in mystery and uncertainty. Christ only came to earth after all the prophecies and types of Christ had been revealed to mankind. He came to earth at a time when every figure of Christ and prophecy, which throughout the centuries would become more and more precise and detailed, and had announced what the life of the Messiah would be like. In this way, God wished to prepare the world by increments to believe and to accept the most wonderful of all mysteries. He came during the 40th year of the reign of the Roman Emperor Augustus, when nearly all the people of the known world submitted to the Roman Empire and were ruled by the same laws, and when the world was at peace. This immense extent of the Roman Empire, the fourth of the monarchies foretold by David, Together with this universal peace after 7 centuries of war was visibly arranged by Providence to facilitate the propagation of the gospel, which was to form out of all the nations one family in Jesus Christ. It was God's will that the human race should have deep convictions concerning the evil of sin, considering their own helplessness and their complete dependence upon God, before he came down from heaven. So it is even with us now, in a way. God wills that we should be humble in our weakness, so that when he visits us and bestows his gifts, we may appreciate them better, be more grateful, and derive greater profit from them. Let us ask God for an increase in the virtues of patience and humility, the virtues which it was his will that we should cultivate, so that when perhaps God in his wisdom delays in answering our prayers, we will not murmur or become frustrated because we do not understand the wisdom of the omniscient God. If we have even a little humility and patience, then it is likely that we will accept God's will when it is revealed to us, just as he willed mankind to be humble and to learn patience over the span of a 4,000-year wait. Further, let us ask to have a greater perseverance in faith when we pray, so that if our prayer is not answered at first, we won't immediately give up and say, "What's the use?" Rather, we will continue to pray that we may become worthy to have our prayers answered or to know what God's will is for us. But when Jesus did come to earth, when the Son of God became man, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, how did he choose to enter this world? Of course we know. It is a reiteration of the lessons he wished us to learn before he came to this cold and spiritually desolate world. He came with humility, as a defenseless babe who had not even a bed on which to lay his head. Abbot Geringer relates this event in these words, "O ineffable mystery, how grand is this apparent littleness! But God has still lower to descend than merely coming to earth as a little infant who is ignored by men. He goes from house to house of his people, and not one will receive him. He must go and seek a crib in the stable of the poor dumb beasts. There, until such time as the angels sing to him their hymn, and the shepherds and magi come with their offerings, he will meet the animals of the stable, who know the crib wherein lies the Savior of the world." God shared a stable with the beasts of the earth because he was rejected from the hospitality of men. In fact, Herod immediately sought to kill the babe. He was afraid of losing his position of power. He didn't care if it was the promised Messiah. When he heard that this child was to be a king, he became so worried that he sank to the horrible death of infanticide. Let us not underestimate how low the evil passions can make us stoop if we do not check them and keep them in subjection. But rather, let us make a place in our hearts for the infant Jesus by avoiding sin and all the distractions of the world, so that on this day, on the birth of the divine infant, we will welcome Jesus into an abode of purity and a soul full of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.